From the studios of WBAA Public Radio in West Lafayette, this is Indiana Public Broadcasting's monthly conversation with Purdue University President Mitch Daniels. I'm Stan Jastrzebski. Thanks for being with us for today's show. And if you've got a question you'd ever like to get on this program, you can email that to news@wbaa.org. And you can tweet your questions at WBAA News on Twitter. I wanted to start out by talking with you about something that I had in a conversation with Wikipedia's founder, Jimmy Wales, earlier this week. And he mentioned something very interesting to me about something I think is going on here on campus, which is the way that computer programmers and scientists are taught outside of the science disciplines. He says, if you think about the way that the internet is being developed, you have to think about the way people are interacting. And so it's important for computer programmers to have training in sociology and communications and other liberal arts disciplines so that when they are coding something, they understand the societal impact it's going to have and the way people are going to interact through their computer code. And it strikes me that this is something that you're trying to do here. Is that correct?
It's a very interesting observation, and yes, I think you've heard us say similar things, although with less insight, I know, than Mr. Wales has. So that's a very interesting point of view, and yes, we, I think, need to keep our eye on the fact that for the moment, many students are passing through Purdue without much of any exposure to the excellent faculty we have in disciplines like sociology and history and communications and so forth. You know, it is interesting that this reminder, I often hear from people in the sciences, in the high-tech community, really asking that we not forget, we in higher education not forget how critical the humanities are to overall success elsewhere. So I wasn't here to hear him say it, but I'm intrigued and happy that he did make the point. And yes, we are listening.
It strikes me that this is something akin to what we have heard business leaders say in the last couple of years, which is, students come out of colleges well-trained in the discipline that they're being hired for, but there's this quote-unquote soft skills gap of knowing how to deal with people and knowing how that you fit into the larger framework of an organization and indeed of a society. And it seems like that's where universities are playing catch-up a little bit these days.
Yeah, but Purdue's a leader in this respect. I mean, I think there are some gaps, but people on the outside tell me all the time when they think of Purdue, they think about job-ready graduates. And in part, they're talking about the fact that our typical students did work on projects, did work in teams, might have done some research. And by the way, one thing that I believe Purdue has always done well in the area of the, let's say, non-technical instruction is communication. We've had strong requirements for both written and verbal communication, but a totally prepared person, both for the world of work and to be a citizen, would also know a lot about history, about our system of government, would have some exposure to great literature, the like. So there we may have a little more work to do. But I think in terms of generally preparing students to be productive and to have the so-called soft skills and so forth, I think Purdue has a great story to tell. We may just look for ways to make it greater.
So the typical engineering or other science graduate coming out of Purdue in the next, say, 4 years, someone who comes in as an entering freshman, what are they going to be required to do? And is it anything different than what people are currently required to do? I mean, are those things still sort of in flux a little bit?
Yeah, there's nothing for the moment. But it's a subject that I was talking with a group of faculty about as recently as yesterday afternoon. So it's a timely question.
This is Indiana Public Broadcasting's monthly conversation with Purdue President Mitch Daniels. Get us your questions. Email those to news@wbaa.org or tweet them at WBAA News on Twitter. You and I chatted a little bit this week earlier this month, actually, for Purdue's Road School, which is a longstanding tradition talking about transportation needs, transportation infrastructure in the state. And a lot of that this year focused on the State Street redesign that Purdue is partnering with the city of West Lafayette on, this main road that goes through campus here for people who might be listening to this and don't know. And I asked you a question during that, and you had to defer your answer. You said you wanted me to ask again, so I will, which is, what is your feeling on how people are feeling about this? Is it hope for what the project could be? Is it skepticism that something so large can be done as quickly as you guys want to do it? Somewhere in between?
I don't pretend to know exactly what everybody on or off campus is thinking. I will say that everyone I've encountered or who's asked about it seems excited about the possibility. And there are some questions, and there would be, about the biggest project the greater Lafayette community probably has ever undertaken, and possibly about the way we propose to do it. But I think there's a great sense of interest, and I hope excitement, about a project that really can transform both the campus and the community. To unify the campus, which has always been divided by what was until recently a state highway, and simultaneously to bring campus and community together in a way that they've been divided by the topography of a river and a hill and so forth. So pretty darn exciting. Some of us need visual assistance, don't have the imagination that some people do for these. And when I see the renderings of what it might well look like, I'm very excited about the way in which what is already, I believe, an attractive campus environment will become much more so.
And you mentioned the idea of having imagination for this project. I was talking about it with West Lafayette Mayor John Dennis, and he kind of blew my mind, and I was thinking about some of the more radical things you can do. And he said, well, we could just change the slope of the hill. And it was like, I couldn't even believe that you were thinking about that, because that's an incredible undertaking. But nonetheless, you're exactly right that the hill is something of an obstacle, both visually and physically, to get into campus. And it strikes me that that's the sort of thinking you would need for a project of this scale, is put everything out there and we'll see what sticks.
Well, you're going to need to talk to engineers and designers and people with talents I don't have about what it ought to really look like. But what I do know is that we can very realistically and in a realistic time frame transform the not just the look and feel of this entire area, but really the economic attractiveness of it, and bring new jobs and by the way, new tax base to the community to support not just this project, but a steadily improving quality of life in general.
Want to switch topics. One of the big things there's been a lot of conversation on campus recently has been proposed changes to the employee leaves policy. It would create just basically a single category of days off. You wouldn't have sick days or personal days. You just have paid time off. This is something that Indiana University and plenty of other schools already do. What was the thought behind something like that? Why create that?
Well, the committee that worked on this for a long time, I think, started from the fact that we have 17 different policies, 50-some pages to try to explain this, and that couldn't be the ideal arrangement. In fact, anytime you have 17 different policies, someone's not being treated fairly. I don't know which ones. I don't know. By the time I was asked anything about it, they had what they thought was, first of all, a much better system, and secondly, one that had been sufficiently tested and vetted and tried out on representatives of the clerical staff, the administrative staff, the faculty, and others. Turned out that wasn't right. And so I think the right thing has been done. Just put the whole thing on hold and have another look. I mean, there are just two things that I do hope that people will understand. And in at least one case, I think it's been misunderstood. The first one is, I'm pretty sure from what I heard from them that the committee thought, sincerely thought, they had done a good job of testing this idea. Turned out not to be right, but now, you know, live and learn. And if they come back with something different, I guarantee you it'll be much more broadly checked out first.
They did seem genuinely surprised that there was some ill feeling on the part of some people who commented about it.
Right. I mean, you know, there were the leadership of the various stakeholder groups on campus had been part of the process, but and I wasn't there to observe, so I don't know. But one way or another, let's just agree that it wasn't an adequate process. But they thought that they had done that job correctly. Of maybe even more importance, it's really important people understand this. This was not a cost-saving endeavor. This new policy was going to cost Purdue over $1 million a year, more than today. And so I think the impression somehow got loose that the committee or someone had cooked up a way to save a little money by changing the terms of leaves. And that's not true. We're going to save $1 million by doing nothing over the next year. And, you know, the committee's sincere intention was to improve protection for workers, principally through the short-term disability policy that the university was prepared to pay 100% of. So a couple of misunderstandings, a process that should have been much, much better, leading, to a misunderstanding that somebody had the intention to take something away and save a little money. The reverse was true. And we'll see. Worth another try.
Allow me to get into that a little bit, because I think one of the things that rose the ire of some people was the proposal that the university, for at least some staff, would not pay out a check, essentially, once they had accrued some leave beyond whatever date was set as the start of this program. And I think people looked at that as the university trying to have some sort of cost-saving measure. But you're saying it's going to cost an extra $1 million or something like that if you implement this program. So can you explain the economics to me a little bit?
Well, first of all, nobody was going to lose a nickel. Anybody who had accrued time was going to get paid for it.
Right, but
and that was
going to
go on for years and years. But as a practice going forward. And, I asked the committee about this whole thing. They make the very good point. Sick days are not a retirement plan. We have that, and we got to work on that if it needs to be improved. But once again, their sincere intention was to improve protection of workers, and secondly, to test the ideas broadly. They didn't bring that off. And so I think the right decision, and I guess about everybody agrees, the right decision for the moment is just leave things sit where they are. And if at some point a better alternative is brought forward, we'll get a look at it then.
Can you tell me where the extra $1 million in spending would
have principally come from? Where would it come from?
Is it mostly that disability plan?
Yeah, it would to pay for a short-term disability plan. There's a big exposure right now, and a significant percentage of our staff, I ask about this, gets caught in it every year. That is to say, they have to be away from work for a meaningful period, and it may exceed the number of days they've stockpiled. So to protect everybody against that, it's not a trivial expenditure. The committee thought it was a good idea, but not enough people were heard from.
You mentioned at the outset that there were something like 17 different plans that were possible. And it sounds like the university was trying to come as close to getting it down to a single infrastructure as possible. Is it maybe now more realistic that there might be two or three instead of 17 instead of just one?
I don't know. There are 17, or so I'm told. And again, I don't think there probably aren't too many people who think that's the perfect system. But what's better is yet to be decided, and everybody's got to have a say in it.
One of the numbers I realized I didn't have was, do you have any sense of how many, when people retire or leave the university, what kind of money the university pays out to those people for their leave each year right now?
Yeah, it's several million dollars a year.
Is it really?
Mm-hmm.
Okay. This is Indiana Public Broadcasting's monthly conversation with Purdue President Mitch Daniels. I'm Stan Jastrzebski. Thanks for being with us on our Indiana Public Broadcasting network of stations. You can send emails for this program to news@wbaa.org or tweet them at WBAA News on Twitter. Well, you, since you were in the governor's office, and I'm sure before that, and now on campus, are known as somebody who likes to stay fit, likes to use the gym facilities, and we have very, very good ones here on campus as well. And it occurred to me I hadn't talked to you about something that's been talked about a lot in higher ed in recent years, which is how to make people healthier, how to encourage them to exercise, how to encourage them to eat better. What are some of the things that Purdue is doing, and not just because it helps keep healthcare costs down, which has been a big driver in recent years for large organizations, but just because living healthy is a good thing to do?
Yeah, great question. I mean, I'm aware of a number of wellness initiatives. I think, by the way, our new clinic with free physicals and part of our new and I think improved health plan is an important step forward. One of the best things, provably, you can do to help people remain well is to have regular checkups and catch things early or get some good advice at that point about how to practice better wellness. So I think that's a step forward. We can never do enough, and we really do want principally so that our students, our staff and faculty all live the highest quality of life they can. But we do have great facilities here. I think our benefits are very conducive. I'll give you one example. As you know, we've been trying to spread the concept of pay at risk and performance pay, some portion of at least top leaders' pay. And our new treasurer, CFO Bill Sullivan, and I agreed that a piece of his is based on how many workouts he gets to this year. So he'll lose money if he doesn't make it over to the gym often enough.
Is that an institutional way of saying Mr. Sullivan needs to get in better shape?
I want to stress it was his idea. he wanted to be put under pressure, and I said, okay.
And how are you keeping tabs on that?
Yes, his assistant, his business partner, is tasked with recording every one. I said I want an outside audit of this number at the end of the year, you know, to make sure that he didn't fudge and treat a walk up and down the stairs as a workout.
Somebody goes and walks with him on the track or mm-hmm. something like that. So one of the things when I worked in Indiana University that they struggled with doing was trying to offset the costs of maintaining some of these facilities, which are done through gym membership fees and things like that, with trying to keep people going to the gym. How do you wrestle with that? Because right now a gym membership for a Purdue employee costs a couple hundred bucks a year, but of course you want them to be using these as much as they can. How do you strike that balance?
Oh, I hope we do. I mean, I can tell you about this is I frequently see the co-rec director in the locker room. We're on something of the same schedule, and I ask them. They're having a tremendous usage, utilization. That's always my question. Are people here? And he'll spout very impressive numbers about the thousands of students, faculty, and staff who are using the facility. So that's a start, and it tells me that the pricing is not can't be too far out of line, and people do feel that they're getting good value for their money. But, you know, there's a substantial subsidy involved in that. Building was put there at university expense, there's a fee associated. But when you shake it all down, I think my predecessors at Purdue made a big statement about fitness and wellness by investing that much in that and other facilities. And I think that what's charged for it doesn't recover the full amount.
I was talking with somebody the other day who said that there has been in higher education in the last 10 years, there's been some consternation about the fact that universities feel like they now have to compete with one another on the quality of the gyms, the quality of the dining halls, and it gets somewhat away from the quality of the education, which is what theoretically you should be competing on. Have you felt some of that pressure, do you think?
Well, the press has been full and the literature has been full of this observation or criticism now for several years that there's been an amenities arms race, not
right.
just gym facilities, but more and more elaborate residence halls, and in some colleges, features that go well beyond anything we have at Purdue, water parks and things, literally. So I do think it's an issue, and one which we have to weigh very carefully. Yes, some students, this may be a tipping point decision for some students, but it is not what we're principally here for. And we'll be very, very careful about this going forward. I think that we had, as you know, a record applications to Purdue this year, up 15% or something over a record that was set last year. There's a lot of interest in our university, and I don't think much of it, frankly, has to do with amenities. I think it has to do with the reputation for excellence and the proven success of our graduates in later life, and our team tells me a growing impression that Purdue's a place that cares about student cost.
I get the sense from the tone of your voice that you're trying to find the students who care about the quality of the classroom versus the quality of the gym when you're recruiting them to come here in the first place.
Well, yes. I mean, we want students who are serious about their scholarship. By the way, I believe we have them. I've been here long enough now to have welcomed a lot of guests who are from other institutions or who are very familiar with higher ed other places, and it's very common for them after a little exposure, if they visit a few classrooms or something, to say to me, boy, these kids are serious. And so, yes, we like that. We believe that that's consistent with Purdue's history. And yes, we will choose to compete on the quality and the rigor of our academic programs, divided by what we hope to be a manageable, affordable cost.
Does that mean that you're trying to play the game a little bit differently than some of your competing universities are? If you're going after the same student that two or three other high-quality universities are, do you have to play the game the way it is currently played, or can you, in fact, for lack of a better term, change the rules a little bit so that you say, look, these are the things we should be focusing on instead of the things we are focusing on necessarily?
I think when we got off the annual tuition increase escalator 2 years ago and then extended the freeze to a second year, next year, a third year, to some extent that was a reflection of what you're asking about. We have departed from what, for the moment, is still the practice across most of higher ed, which is just to raise the price every year because you can. I don't think Purdue ever really competed on the basis of amenities. We didn't have to. We have academic excellence. We have some best-in-the-world programs. We have a rigor that we love to emphasize now. And But I do think we have a somewhat different marketing or presentational approach than some other schools do. But I believe it's one that matches the moment now. I think those schools that are trying to get by on fancy amenities, questionable, maybe very soft and easy academic requirements, all paid for by higher and higher and higher tuitions and fees, will at some stage decide that's not working anymore.
We've got just about 5 minutes left with Purdue University President Mitch Daniels on Indiana Public Broadcasting's monthly conversation with him. I'm Stan Jastrzebski. Thanks for being with us. I wanted to mention a couple more things to you just on different topics in our last couple of minutes. I speak regularly, of course, with Purdue Athletics Director Morgan Burke, and he made an interesting point to me about something he might like to see. And he said, think about where Purdue is located geographically in the Big Ten. We're relatively centralized here on campus, and revenue is a concern for all athletic departments everywhere. And we've got this airport that's a 5-minute drive from here. He says, I wonder if we could have a charter service where we could have a Big Ten series of planes based out of the West Lafayette Airport that could help ferry all of the athletic teams in the Big Ten that need to go everywhere from Nebraska to New Jersey. And I thought I would put this to you and see if you had thoughts about it.
Well, I haven't heard that particular idea from Morgan, but it's an interesting one. And I'll just say, and it's all I can say for the moment, that that airport and one of the world's great aviation programs are taken together are, I believe, a undeveloped or underdeveloped asset. And you may expect us to make some moves out there that try to develop that in a variety of ways that are attractive to more students, that are attractive to possible business partners, and with the economic activity, possibly the internships and other things they could bring.
It sounds like you see it as a possible revenue source in similar ways to the way
yes.
Morgan sees it.
Well, very possible. Don't know about running a charter service for athletic teams, but nothing's off the – let me put it this way, Stan, and it links to other questions that we've been discussing here. Anyone who doesn't see that the future of higher education as we've known it is shaky and is likely to change, I think has their head buried. And someone is going to have to figure out some new approaches, and it would be very helpful if some of them had revenue attached to them, because revenue of the kind that has supported the whole enterprise now for decades is every source is under pressure. Funding from public sources, Indiana is second or third in the country in maintaining its support for higher education. People who don't realize that need to look around and what's going on in other places. It's where it's plunged. Research, the federal government's broke. And so as the entitlement programs eat the rest of the budget, funding from NSF and NIH and these traditional sources has been flatlined, and we can't expect it to leap up in the way that it once did. And then, of course, tuition, there's sooner or later, it's happening now already, students and their families are beginning to balk at some of the demands for tuition. So better be looking for other ways to move ahead if you really want to be strong and stable and able to ride out what difficulties may be coming.
Well, those are the kind of things I'm sure you and I will be chatting about on this program in the coming months. And as always, we thank you for your time, and we know it's a busy time for you. Are you doing anything fun for spring break, for Purdue spring break?
Well, no, I'm going to go out and visit some alums and remind them what a great place this is and why they should remain attached and supportive.
All right. Well, we'll do it again next month, and we look forward to it.
Thanks.
This has been Indiana Public Broadcasting's monthly conversation with Purdue University President Mitch Daniels. A reminder that if ever you've got a question, feel free to email that to news@wbaa.org. You can also tweet your questions at WBAA News on Twitter, or get a hold of your local public broadcasting station and submit them a question, and they'll pass it along to us, and we'll be sure to get it on our next show with Purdue President Mitch Daniels. I'm Stan Jastrzebski. Thanks so much for listening, and have a good rest of your day. We'll be right back.